You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Excuse me. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for America's Day of Repentance. Take a plane, take a train, take a donkey. We'll have the word first. And our only hope for America is what we're doing on Wednesday night. It is to pray and believe, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Matthew chapter 13 has seven parables of Jesus. The Old Testament prophesied that when the Messiah would come, he would only speak in parables. So what is a parable? A parable is a story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual truth. Let me say that again. A parable is a story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual truth. So we can say that since Jesus spoke in parables, Jesus is the greatest storyteller ever. Yeah. Now, why would Jesus tell stories? Because Jesus is the living Word. And John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What do you use to tell stories? Word. Okay. So Jesus is the greatest parable word teller ever, ever, ever. Now, when Jesus tells a parable, it's not boring. Let's just say that if he were telling you the story of Mary had a little lamb, he is not boring. The word is life. He would not say it in a monotone way. He would not say, "Mary had a little lamb. Its face was white as snow." No, no, no. He's alive. He would say, "Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow." Did you know that in early America, we were so Christian that even the songs our children sang, like "Mary had a little lamb," told the gospel. You know who Mary is? The Virgin Mary. The little lamb is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. And in Revelation 1, it says Jesus' head and his hair is white as wool, as white as snow. The wool of the lamb and white as snow. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Now, our first parable, we won't get to all of them today. We're going to begin the parable of the sower. The sower means broadcast. That's where we get the term radio broadcast, or a television broadcast. It means to broadcast. In Bible times, the farmer would put a bag of seed around his neck or his waist, and he would walk, and he would sow in all directions. He would cast the seed broadly in every direction, to the left and to the right, to the left and to the right. He would be broadcasting that seed. Now, the farmer knew that some of that seed would not bear fruit. Only the ground that received that fruit would bear fruit. Now, we learned last week in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus said the seed is the word. Right now, I am sowing the seed of the word of God. And I'm sowing it hither, thither, and yon, all over the place. And we want it to bear fruit. But whether it bears fruit determines on the ground in which it falls. I pray it falls into good ground with you. A parable of the soul, or from God's heart to my heart to your heart, you, Christian, are called to broadcast.
Amen. Verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Verse 2. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore.
Thousands of people were there, and Jesus needed a microphone, but microphones were not invented. So he gets into a ship, and he pushes it out a little bit from shore, and that makes a natural amphitheater. Is Jesus smart?
And he spake many things unto them in parables.
Now he's going to tell them a story. A parable is a story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual truth.
Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 4. And when he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up.
In Bible times, they did not have sidewalks or paved roads, but they had a beaten path where over a period of time, everybody would walk there, walk there, walk there, and the ground would become so hard, it was almost as hard as our paved sidewalk. So when that farmer's sowing that, if it falls on that area, I mean, the seed doesn't even have a chance. There's no soil there. So of course, a bird can come and eat it, but not only a bird, I bet you serpents came and ate it, if you get my drift.
5. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they have no deepness of earth. Verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away.
Now that little seed actually fell into some soil, and it actually began to grow, but it was on stone. And when the sun came out, it needed to stretch its little roots into deep water, but it didn't have any root, and so it got scorched, and it died.
7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them.
Now, that little seed actually fell into soil, and it could take root, but thorns are very aggressive. It just says, zap, get out of here.
Verse 8. But other fell into good ground.
Thank goodness.
And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold.
So you see, if the space of the good ground was large, that was a lot of fruit. If the space of the ground was medium-sized, that was medium-sized fruit. If the space of the ground was small, that was small fruit. But the ground brought forth the maximum it could possibly do.
Verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now Jesus knows that not everybody's going to get this. Open your ears and hear. Let this saying sink down deep into your ears, if you have ears to hear.
10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables?
Jesus, why don't you just tell them what you mean? We don't understand why you speak in these parables.
11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Now, Jesus is referring to the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6. World is a Greek word, eon, age. There was an age before this, and all of us were there. We were born, created, not born, created at the same time. We're all the same age, no death, no sickness. And Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, when you die here, if the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. But one day in that first earth age, with all of us praising God, Lucifer, that old devil, betrayed God, and one-third of God's children followed him. One-third did nothing. They sat like a knot on a log. They were just kind of, duh. But one-third got up and fought for God. Then God says, okay, I'm going to give everybody a second chance. So everybody gets to come through one time in the flesh in the second earth age to either choose Jesus, who also came and paid the sin debt, or again to choose the devil. Now, those who chose him then are not called the elect, but they get a second chance. But they are not as likely to hear because they do not have ears to hear God. They listen to the devil. But that one-third that was there then that fought for God are called God's very elect or remnant. They're sent out in every generation, and they have ears to hear. And so the disciples have ears to hear, but not everyone has ears to hear. But everyone could hear if they would try to hear.
Amen. 12. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath.
To whom much is given, much is required. Now Jesus talks about this same parable in Matthew chapter 25. His parable there says a nobleman went on a long journey, and he called his servants to him, and he said, I'm going to be gone for a long time, but I'm going to give each one of you some talent, and I want you to sow it, and I want you to grow it, and when I come back, I want there to be fruit. I want there to be a profit. So he went away. But before he went away, he gave to one of his servants 5 talents. And then he gave to another 2 talents, and he gave to another 1 talent. See, he understood their personality. He knew how much each one could handle, and then he went away. But when he came back, he said, all right, servants, come to me. And the servant to whom he'd given 5 talents said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. I sowed it, and I have gained 5 talents more. The Master said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small things. I'll make you ruler in many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then the servant to whom he had given 2 talents came to him. Master, you gave me 2 talents. I sowed it, and I've gained 2 more. Now I've got 4 to give you. Jesus, who is really the nobleman, said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then the servant to whom he'd given 1 came and said, well, Master, I was afraid. I mean, you know, I don't know what to do with 1 talent, so I hid it. Jesus said, thou slothful servant, I'm going to take that 1 talent from you, and I'm going to give it to the one who had 5 and turned it into 10. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required. You often hear me at the end of this program say, nothing is given to you to keep. Go and sow, and God will give you some more. When you give everything you have into God's kingdom, you will lose nothing. He will give you some more. But if you don't give anything, you'll lose even that which you have. Amen. All of you have talents, some kind of a gift. You're getting this truth. Some of you are getting it all. Some of you are getting in one direction. Some of you are getting just a little bit of it. But you are to do something with it. To whom much is given, much is required.
Amen. 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables.
Jesus says, this is why I speak unto them in parables.
Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand.
Now, he's not talking about physical blindness or physical deafness. There is none so blind as they that cannot see. It's a little bit difficult to be physically blind or physically deaf, but I don't feel sorry about that. I feel so sorry for people who are spiritually blind even though they have 20/20 vision. You see, Jesus is saying, some of you think you have perfect vision. You can see the sun come up, and you see the flowers that bloom in May, and yet you can't see beyond your nose what is going on in the world right now. You are spiritually blind. Some of you could hear the chirp of a bird outside your window with your door closed, window closed. You could hear the slightest little grunt of your cell phone, but you do not hear what is prophesied that's happening in the world right now. On Wednesday night, I'm teaching another book. I'm teaching the book of Psalms. Last Wednesday, we began Psalm 27. The title of Psalm 27 is Jacob's Trouble, the Tribulation of the Antichrist. And we had a cross-reference in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3 told us all the way how it would be in these last days. And so everything that's in 2 Timothy, we're experiencing right now. See, if the body of Christ in America were not spiritually blind, you would know that we are right now on the threshold, the open door of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation of the Antichrist. And then you would stop your nonsense and you would go where you're supposed to go. You would pray where you're supposed to pray. You would forget your cell phones and your video machines, and you would be running. The cars would be lined up from here to Georgia to pray for the repentance of America. Amen. You are fiddling while Rome burns.
14, and in them was fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and in seeing you shall see and not perceive.
This is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The prophet Isaiah said that when the Messiah comes, he'll be standing right there and they won't know it. But also in the last days, the Antichrist is standing at the threshold, and then Jesus comes and the people are fiddling while Rome burns.
15. For this people's heart is waxed gross.
In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied that, and the Hebrew there says, heart fat. What it means is, God has blessed you so much. He has a pet name for that, Yeshua, waxed fat. And those who overcome the temptation of the Antichrist, you sing the overcomer song in Deuteronomy 32, and God says, some of you are Yeshua and wax fat. You are heart fat. I have blessed you so much. You are so comfortable. You love your worldly life. You love your video machines more than you love to fall on your face and pray for the salvation of America. You are fat and sassy and in your comfort zone. But you say, well, I go to church on Sunday. Are you kidding? Man lives by every word of God. We need this word every day. And we're in a crisis. We're in the last days. Perilous times are here. And only God's children called by his name can have anything to change this. And there you are. But you're so comfortable.
And their ears are dull of hearing.
Duh.
And their eyes they have closed.
You have a spirit of slumber over you. Romans 11 says that some people at the end times, God has even allowed a spirit of slumber to come on you because he knows you don't have the backbone and spine to stand up to the Antichrist, and a little bit, it'll be your protection. But you're supposed to see. You're supposed to hear.
Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears.
Now, Jesus is going to speak a little bit snarkily to them. I mean, you know, if you heard, I mean, you might see and you might hear, America.
And should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Oh, my goodness. if you would realize where we are in God's timetable, you would actually humble yourselves and pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and seek God's face, not his hand, and not the cell phone in your hand. Repent of your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn away from loving your cell phones and your videos more than prostrating yourself and praising God and standing in the gap here for America. God says, then I would hear from heaven. I would forgive your sins, America. I would heal your land. I would heal your America. So you see, America, it's God's people called by God's name. It's up to us. And this means, you teenagers, once you are the age of accountability, you're accountable to God. And when you stand before him, you will give account for your life. Every Christian in America right now needs to do 2 Chronicles 7:14. And Jesus says, I would heal your land. He just said it.
Amen.
16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
The disciples understood it. God has 7,000 elect right now alive, and the elect see, but the rest of you could see.
17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men had desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
The word them is in italics. Anytime in the Bible something's in italics, the translators put it there. God did not say it, so it's talking about Jesus. Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, Moses, Ezekiel, Daniel, they so wanted to live in these times because they wanted to see the Messiah when he came. Now, we've heard many Christians say, I wish I could have been one of the disciples so I could have seen Jesus. Now, wait a minute. We have it made better than the disciples. They saw him in the flesh. But we are the generation of the fig tree to usher in the second coming of Jesus. We are the most blessed of all. For such a time as this, you're born. Be you 5 or 125. And you see, we have the great honor of seeing the Antichrist appear. We're in the threshold. Jacob's trouble, the sixth trump has begun to sound. The tribulation of Antichrist. The Antichrist is instead of Christ. He's going to pretend to be Jesus. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. He's going to be sweet and nice, cause craft to prosper. He's going to fool the world and half the body of Christ. But we, God's elect, with open eyes, we have the privilege of seeing who Amen. He is. Amen. And then we have the great honor, the highest and holy calling. We shall be delivered up to him. Thank you, Father. And the Holy Spirit will speak through us. If we let the Holy Spirit speak through us, the gospel shall be preached to the whole world, and then the end shall come. And then Jesus will come at the seventh trump, and he will come, and he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And those of us who wait for him get to teach in the 1,000 years reign of Jesus on earth in our spiritual bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have it better Amen. Than any of them.
Amen.
Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower.
All right. Jesus says, I'm going to explain it now.
19. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
There are some people to whom you witness, their hearts are so hard, they don't even let it get to their lips. They might cuss you out. They are so hard. Get away from me. I don't want to hear this. And so you see, it never takes root. These are the kind of people that as the Antichrist is about to appear, who will pretend to be Christ, they're going to be catched by him. Did you notice he says he catcheth them? He snatcheth them. They don't have any word in them. And so since he says he's Jesus, they're going to believe the lie proverb. Ezekiel 13 in the King James says, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. And they're going to be snatched with him in Zechariah 5 by a dirty stork bird. That dirty bird, that fowl. But he's doing it for that old serpent who is none other than the devil. They're going to try to go up in that Airbus, but they can't get up and they can't get down. They're so hard, they refuse to listen. Now, when you meet those people, don't be dismayed. Go on to the next one.
Verse 20. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it.
Anon means immediately. They said, great word.
21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while.
But Jesus says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Not he that endureth for a while.
But when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Poor baby. Okay. These are people. They hear it. They hear the truth. It might be some of you. You're hearing it. And so you say, okay, but I'm not going to get it all. I mean, I'm going to get enough. I'm going to go tell somebody there was a seduction in the garden. But you didn't come on Wednesdays and Sundays, and you didn't dig deeply to hear that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is simply a metaphor for a man, a cherub man, who has a backbone, spine, central nervous system, and can make firm like men do. And you didn't get enough in you to understand that when Eve said, God said not to touch you, that touch is a Hebrew word, naga, to lie as a sex act. So when you go and try to tell someone, cause your root didn't go deeply, you just got a little bit of it, they're gonna laugh you out cause they're gonna think you telling them that a snake impregnated Eve. Well, the snake is not a snake, it's a parable, he's a devil. He's a young man, he's a cherub, he can make firm, he's Lucifer, and he got her pregnant with Cain. But see, you can't tell that because your roots didn't go deeply. You see, it's a dangerous thing to have just a little learning. A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or not at all of the Pierian springs.
22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
The thorn is always a symbol of the devil. Excuse me. In the book of Judges, chapter 9, God calls his children trees of righteousness. So the trees, God's children, were ready to select themselves a king. So they asked the grapevine, they said, will you be the king? The grapevine said, nope, I'm too busy bearing fruit. They asked the olive, will you be our king? He said, no, I'm too busy, I'm anointed. But the thorn, the bramble, in Judges 9 said, I'll be your king. Come and hide under my shadow and I'll protect you. The thorn was deceiving them because a thorn tree has no leaves and can cast no shadow. So you see, the devil deceives you. Oh, you hear the word, you like the word, but not enough to go deeply because you got to talk to somebody on your cell phone on Wednesday night. You got to do your video machine. You got to make some more money. You got to go to work. You got to have fun. You got to busy, busy, busy. We're in the last days. Perilous times are come. If you're ever, ever, ever going to be for God, now is the time. If you're not, go on and fiddle while Rome burns. Have mercy on you. Amen. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Not those who start, but don't give it all. I wonder sometimes if you're really saved, if you don't give it all. Because if you ever loved Jesus, there would be nothing else that would be greater than your love for him. And he is the Word.
23. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
God has given to every one of you gift or gifts. To whom much is given, much is required. But all he expects you to do is take all that you have, all your time, all your talent, all your love, all your money, and put it into the kingdom. So, if you have a lot, give it all, and he will say, well done. If you have a little, give it all, and he will say, well done. I want you to bear much fruit. He that hath ears, I pray you've heard, because I want that when you stand before the Lord Jesus, and it's sooner than you think, we're on the threshold of the tribulation of Antichrist. His time's been shortened for the next 6 to 5 months, and then Jesus comes. When you stand before Jesus, I want you to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over small matters. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The parable of the sower. Go and broadcast. Next week, we're going to get into, continue the parable of the sower, but it's going to explain the mystery of God. Don't miss it. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a great word. What a great word today.
Great word.
Awesome.
The Lord is the word. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, you know, David put his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow. For their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Joel 3:13-14.
Great, Scott.
Amen.
We did not collude this. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit. That
Amen.
Is so
Amen.
Perfect. And see, don't be afraid. This is the best of time. This is the best of time. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But right now, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Pray this and mean it with all your heart, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I quit them.
I quit them.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I ask forgiveness for my sins.
I ask forgiveness of my sins.
I believe that Jesus' blood will wash away my sins.
I believe that Jesus' blood will wash away my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bear much fruit.
To bear much fruit.
For the Lord Jesus Christ.
For the Lord Jesus Christ.
I confess that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Amen, amen. Amen. Now, those of you out in cyberspace, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to confess that to me. In a moment, you'll hear my telephone number. You might call me and leave that message on my voicemail. Excuse me. Now I'm going to pray for the sick. Today, I feel led for those of you who have trouble sleeping. When you start to go to bed, you feel like demons are all over the place. Now we know that Malachi chapter 4 says, unto those that fear your name shall the Son of Righteous arise with healing in your wings. So what you do, open your Bible as you walk in the door of your place. Say out loud with great velocity, Psalm 91, Say it out loud. Go into every room of your place and say it out loud. Before you go to bed, sit on your bed, hold up the Bible, and read Psalm 91 aloud. Read it aloud, okay? See, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You can do all these other things, but you see, you have to say the word of God. The word is a two-edged sword, and it protects you. It's the word of God. People do everything in the world but the word of God, and the word of God scares the devil to death. Then you get a bottle of olive oil and pray over it, anointing. Anoint your pillow, anoint your bed in the middle and the back. And in the name of Jesus, we command all demonic forces to be gone from you forever. Get out of your place, get out of your house, get out of your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Come, Lord Jesus. And then read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Read it aloud. He gives you victory over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and devils, and they will not hurt you. Now, some of you say, but I do that, but they come back. You're opening a door. Do you know that you open a door to demons when you associate with people where they are filled with demons? And you are not strong enough, you're not rooted enough in the Word, your roots are not deep in the Word enough to shield you. Those demons jump on you and they come in your place piggyback. So you see, you got to fight fire with fire. I pray you were blessed.
Amen.
Okay. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He sets the captive free. He gives you power over all the power of the enemy. But you must use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Say it out loud, death and life and the power of the tongue. In other words, if you've got a battle, that's all you need to say, morning, noon, and night. It doesn't have to just be Psalm 91, all the good scriptures there. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell, and God will give you some more. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart, and I can't wait until next time when you and I get together to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
much less treasure.
Alone, my hope is found, and He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Blood of Christ.
the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ.
Hey lonely, hey sad eyes, hey you who need some sunshine. All you gotta do is open up the blinds. Hey worry, hey heartache, help is not that far away, yeah. Just open up your eyes. He'll be there every time.
were listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Your mama didn't treat you right, your daddy didn't treat you right. Don't think that their action was the bottom line.
Dr. Tony Evans explores the relationship between emotional pain and spiritual progress.
God allows those events so you can save somebody else's life who is abused and broken and in pain.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. It often seems like those who've accomplished the most for God have been through the worst life has to offer. Dr. Evans says our painful experiences can be used to bless and build up the body of Christ. Let's join him as he explores how to do that.
Even when you weren't saved, God recognized all the good things about you. The things that you had going for you, the stuff you had going on in your life and in your world, your background, your parental background, and the jobs that you have taken, the experience that you have learned, the training that you have received. And what he wants to do, or at least have the option to do, now that you are a believer, is sanctify them. that is, use them only now for your calling, which means the promotion of his kingdom, and not merely doing a job or getting a paycheck, although that could be included. Paul had all the raw ingredients. God decided to use those, and that was good. Now, that one's easy for us to accept because we can see how God would use good things in our background and in our life. So I won't spend a lot of time there. Suffice it to say, God used the strengths of Paul to put him in as the leader of the church in terms of setting forth the doctrine and making the defense. One of the great things about grace is that God can take mistakes and make them miracles. Don't go out misquoting me. God doesn't endorse mistakes. But the reality is God can still take mistakes that have been repented of and use the mistake to make us better for our calling. And that ought to be good news before I say anything more. Luke chapter 22, and we could talk about a lot of people in the Bible, but let's talk about my favorite character in the Bible, Peter. And the reason why Peter's my favorite character in the Bible is because he liked to talk, okay? Always talking, and he was always running stuff, all right? He wouldn't let anybody else talk or preach or whatever. Okay. Verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Satan has come to me and asked me, can he have you? But I have prayed for you. By the way, it's good to know even when you're not praying, Jesus is praying for you. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. I'm praying for you that you don't quit on me. And you, when you have turned again, some of your Bibles say when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. That's an important line. Satan has got something in store for you. I'm going to be there praying for you because we are going to allow Satan to get through. So I'm going to pray for you. Now watch this now. When you are converted, because you're getting ready to mess up, then I want you to go help somebody else. Now, wouldn't you think Jesus would say, you're going to mess up, boy. So you better go and find some place to hide. No, he says, Satan's coming after you. I'm praying for you. You get ready to mess up,